So this is Steve Coast, and we're doing another Open Geodata podcast here. It's Monday, the 12th of October, 2009, and I'm joined by, I guess I'm going to have to call you paleogeographers, guys, unless you can defend yourself. I'm joined by James Fee and Peter Batty, both, I guess, big in the GIS world. Introduce you both. James, your blog says you work for WeoGeo, helping people organize, share, and monetize their geo content. Does that summarize James Fee?
Are you reading my sidebar?
I am.
I didn't think anybody read those anymore.
Well, someone has to.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's I'm working for WeoGeo now. I guess the phrase the cloud, whatever the hell that means, right? I mean, that's it's like the web 2.0. No one knows what it means, but so yeah, I've been there for about about 4 months now. So having a blast.
And you can be found at spatiallyadjusted.com.
Yep.
How'd you come up with that name?
You know, I can't remember.
Well, you should have called it memory adjusted then.
I know. Well, you know, you just one day, you know how it is when you get URLs. You think, that'd be a cool URL, and you just buy it one day, and then you never use it for a couple of years, and you look at it, and like, I better use that. So I better blog out with it. So.
Yeah, I had a friend who told a great story about, you know, that drunken moment when you come home and you think it's a really good idea to buy a domain like tickettytalk.com, which is one that I bought once.
Yeah, have you been using that one yet?
No, I passed that on to a spammer or something like
that. Best laid plans, I guess, right?
And you're based in the U.S.?
Yep, in Arizona. The company I work for, you know, is in Portland, Oregon. So doing the remote thing these days, which I guess the cloud facilitates that very well.
For some reason, I thought WeoGeo was based in Florida.
They were. They moved to Portland about 18 months ago to get closer to the tech world. You know, Tampa, where they were, Florida is kind of, it's like Arizona. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere. So now they're in the center of it all, halfway between San Francisco and Seattle.
It's a bit of a better commute than Florida, I guess. And then we're also joined by Peter Batty, who I'm going to read from your sidebar as well, Peter, is founder and president of a startup called Spatial Networking, which develops an application called Where You Gonna Be. I think I'll let you summarize the rest.
Yeah, and then I guess before that previously I've been CTO at Intergraph and Small World, who are two of the larger GIS companies. So I'm a former paleogeographer turned neogeographer.
you sound very British.
Yes, I've been in Denver for about 15 years, but I'm still working on my Colorado accent. So I'm from Leicester in England originally, same part of the world as you, vaguely. Same country, anyway.
Being in Colorado, do you have a gun and a cowboy hat?
Just a cowboy hat, which is now famous on the interwebs. Go out and find it.
I can't get that image out of my mind, Peter.
Yeah, no, sorry about that, James. I left it at home on this trip, though. I'm in DC at the moment, so I'm cowboy hatless.
So I guess the thing we're going to talk about is Google's super quiet announcement of I don't really know where to begin. I mean, co-opting the monopoly of Teleatlas and Navtech and suddenly coming out with their own map of at least the continental United States last week. Both you guys have blogged about it. What were your initial reactions?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I didn't even know about it. One day, you know, I just happened to type in something in the Phoenix area, and I saw some parcels showing up, and it surprised the heck out of me, and I started zooming around the rest of Arizona in the metro areas, and there they all were. And it seemed like they didn't really talk about it until after people started noticing it. You know, I guess it's not a surprise to me in the way that I think parcels are the natural progression of where we are going with these spatial data sets on the web. But, you know, for them to just basically kick out Teleatlas and go with this, what I guess we're guessing is Tiger data, was actually quite a surprise. And I think, you know, the way people have been talking about it, their geocoder and their routing has gotten really bad lately. Probably because it's just not as accurate to tell the Tiger data versus the data set they had before. I'm just curious to see how this whole thing falls out, because they're clearly not still using TeleAtlas in other countries, so they're not bailing on TeleAtlas yet. But if I was TeleAtlas, I probably would be making plans for a non-Google future.
So it doesn't seem to be purely Tiger, because they seem to coincidentally have also driven almost every road in the United States now. And so Street View seems to come into it a lot.
Yeah, clearly that's the case. And I would assume their Street View would be more accurate than, I guess it depends what you do with the data once you get it. And so their data processing farm, wherever that is in the whole world, is obviously fusing these multiple data sources they're getting from, the census in the United States, their Street View, and obviously data they've been donated. I'm doing air quotes with donated. From other organizations in the United States. So it's obviously a fuse of all these data sets.
Peter, was your initial thoughts?
Well, yeah, and I guess my initial reaction was that it really, potentially really changes the landscape in terms of the geospatial data industry. Certainly Navtech and TeleAtlas have got to be pretty concerned about the development, I think. They were already threatened from one direction with the growth in momentum of OpenStreetMap, and now this puts another whole dimension on it where, basically previously there were sort of two commercial routable databases for the US from Navtech and TeleAtlas, and then OpenStreetMap developing one that is getting there very quickly but not doesn't quite have the coverage or completeness of the others yet. But now suddenly Google throws one into the mix, and I think that has a lot of potential interesting ramifications, and we can talk about several of those. But, overall, it's just a big change on the landscape of geospatial data, I think.
Why do you think they did it so quietly?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose in many ways, to the typical Google end user, it doesn't make... it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference in terms of where the data comes from. At least it shouldn't in theory. So I think the geospatial world or in the industry who are getting excited about the implications of it, perhaps the main thing that changes as far as most users see, most typical end users, is this ability that they now have to report errors, which wasn't there before. And gets a little bit into the sort of crowdsourcing model that OpenStreetMap uses, but only to a very small extent. Then people aren't creating their own data. They're just able to report that back to Google. So that's perhaps the main change that end users see.
I wonder if that's some of it, though, because, the minute they say they have a new geocoder, they have a new routing, they have new maps, everyone's going to type in their address, and it's relatively going to be different than what it was before. And I think if they were quiet about that, not that they didn't think people would notice, but I think it's partly that they want people to fix the map for them before they really start making a big deal about the quality of the data. Because obviously, given what we saw that Michael Jones wrote on All Points blog, they obviously feel that people fixing the map for them is what they want to happen versus them going out and doing it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it does seem to me in the short term, not from a very scientific study, but just from poking around a bit myself and seeing comments online, that in the short term, the quality of the data, the street data seems to have gone down. I found one major highway that was missing in Colorado already that is the road I take up to the Central City Opera where I go every summer, and it was built about 4 or 5 years ago and just doesn't appear at all on the new Google map. And so that's a pretty big omission, and I've reported the bug just to see how the process will work, and it'll be interesting to see how long it takes to fix that. And I don't know for sure that was on the previous map, but I'm pretty sure it was on the map that was there before using the TeleAtlas data, and I've heard a few other people report the same thing. So it'll be interesting to see what the customer reaction is from that, and how quickly they can go and fix up those errors and get the data back to where it was before. I mean, assuming that that's not just a random glitch that I found.
Yeah, I would be curious to see about accuracy. I mean, there's no way we can determine it because we don't see the data, but, you know, where Google has driven their Street View cars versus areas they have not, you know, what the quality of those data sets are. You know, I assume, obviously, Street View is probably more accurate, whereas if they're just taking other data sets and blending them into the Street View, that they're less accurate. So,
yeah, that's my assumption. I mean, from just looking around, it seems to me, you know, in downtown Denver where I live and where I know they've driven with Street View, the data looks pretty good from a quick glance, whereas, say, in Central City where they don't have Street View, it looks to me like it's come from Tiger data and the quality in general looks not nearly as good. You know, it looks like more Tiger data before it's been cleaned up in OpenStreetMap. So,
do you guys think we'll ever really know the sources? I mean, Google isn't really known for telling anybody anything, right?
Oh, I don't think they're going to tell us at all. I mean, they'll just say, you know, obviously that's, you know, every time someone brings it up, someone from Google says, well, here's where you can donate data. So it's kind of like, you know, they're listening to your question, but they're totally distracting you with their answer. And the answer is, well, you know, it's whoever gives us the data, whether it's, you know, some city or county giving the data, or, you know, me going on to their website and change or fixing the map. But I guess we still can't fix the map in the United States, right? The editing tools aren't available, right? I haven't checked.
You can just notify them and then they have to go and fix it. Whereas OpenStreetMap, as we all know, you know, you can go and directly fix that yourself and see the changes almost straight away. So it's still quite a big difference there in terms of that crowdsourcing model.
Yeah, well, clearly they only trust people in the third world to edit their own data.
But before we're too negative about Google, I want to say, for one, that I actually welcome our new Google overlords.
So. Yeah, well, I think there's some interesting, you know, another interesting aspect to this, which actually, in many ways, I do welcome, is there's a huge number of comments on James' blog about the source of this parcel data and so on, and various questions about, you know, for some areas it seems that they, or there are questions about have they asked for permission to publish this data and so on. And one thing that highlights for me is the complete mess as far as parcel sharing in the US, which I have to say is something I hadn't been fully aware of up to this point. Basically it just seems very complex. There's loads of entities to deal with and everybody has different policies on sharing it. So I guess I'm with the school. There's a few comments on James' blog that I would agree with, that say in many ways I welcome the fact that Google has jumped into this and it may help sort out some of that mess, even if in the short term it's going to cause quite a lot of consternation and discussion. But if Google can help clear that up and make it easier to share parcel data, that would be a good potential outcome from this thing, I think.
James, do you want to summarize all these comments you've had? I mean, it looks like there's a bunch of controversy there, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's some, obviously some people are from, you know, county or city organizations. They're just saying, like, where the heck did they get, you know, I don't know about them coming asking for parcel data. So where the heck did they get it? I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, them wanting to control the data, because a lot of these organizations, you can download it for free. From their websites. I think it's just the question about, it would be nice to know what data source they got it from. Is it their parcels, or is it someone who licensed it and then gave it away without their notice? Then there's clearly, you know, the group that says, well, you know, for all the stuff that we, you know, don't like about TeleAtlas and Navtech, at least there's, you know, implied quality to their data set, you know, that if I just pay the money, you know, people will say, well, it's TeleAtlas or it's Navtech, so it must be good. And now with Google, you know, you sort of lose that. What's Google's authority on the accuracy of spatial data? I mean, I guess we'll have to see. The jury's still out on that. Then there's the Google who basically tell everybody, you know, you guys are wasting your time. Stop developing products. Just use Google's free APIs and you'll be better off. And then there's, I guess, some anarchists that just wish we'd all go away.
One
of the other questions is why has Google got that parcel data? And I thought that some of the discussion seemed to be, to me, reading a bit too much into, well, people are really going to be going and looking at the parcel data. And I wasn't sure that that was Google's aim so much, that it seemed to me it was probably that they were hoping to get more accurate geocoding from that, that in some cases it seems like they're using those parcels to geocode to a more accurate location than they could do previously. So, you know, in some ways it's not clear to me if it's even worth displaying those parcels on the map. I mean, I guess in some areas it kind of looks nice and makes the map seem more complete, but, you know, some people seem to assume that suddenly people are going to be using that for more kind of legal applications, which I don't really think was the case.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, you don't know, you know, a copy of a copy of a copy, you know, with no way to verify its accuracy. You know, who knows? But for every person you see complain about that, I there's like two or three people on my blog that were saying, well, we should let Google aggregate our data like this. You know, the county shouldn't be paying anybody to do it. We should just give it to Google and let their people do it for free. So, you know, it's there's a lot of extremes out there right now. You know, is Google evil? Are they not evil? Are they going to save us from ourselves? You know, is this good for me, my organization? You know, obviously, I don't think anybody has a clue about what this means. You know, more than 6 months down the road, is Google's going to improve the data, add more data sets? I mean, their parks layer, which I think they blogged about, you know, that looks a lot better than it did. And obviously, it's filtering into Google Earth. So, you know, there's some things here, but clearly Google is a visualization company. You know, they're not about the data set underneath. It's how do you use it to make it look good in the maps and to, you know, do geocoding, I guess sell ads on top of it all, right?
So a few people have said that we're sort of just replacing one monopoly with another. Do you guys agree with that or not?
The previous monopoly being?
Teleatlas and Navtech, duopoly, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the things that this, one of the concerns that I have with this and a few other things from Google recently is, you know, at what point do you become concerned that, that Google is taking over too much of the world, you know? And in general, I'm a fan of a lot of things that Google does. You know, I use a lot of their tools and so on. But I blogged a little while ago about the work they were doing, this Google Power Meter, which lets you basically monitor electric consumption in your own home. And they've released that through Google.org, their philanthropic arm, and they're making that available completely for free. And basically, as far as I can see, that wipes out several small to medium-sized companies, the fact that Google's just done that. And then, you know, it's interesting in this case as well, I mean, whether that suddenly Google's done this and is taking over this market that was previously dominated by Navtech and Teleatlas. Well, we don't quite know if they're taking it over, but there's certainly that potential. You know, we don't know if they're going to license the data elsewhere or whatever. But, you know, it is a concern to me that even if Google's motto is do no evil or whatever it is, that you do need some effective competition. And, you know, so I think that leads into an interesting discussion with regard to OpenStreetMap in particular, which is one of the main alternative sources. Does this strengthen or weaken OpenStreetMap? I don't know if you guys have opinions on that.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not so sure this affects Teleatlas or Navtech too much in the short term, other than the revenue that Teleatlas got from the Google Maps, because I think when we think of Teleatlas and Navtech, we think enterprise or, you know, big companies just licensing this data. Clearly, Google doesn't view their product that way yet. You know, you just don't see them licensing their data set underneath to anybody. What they do is primarily, at least from my standpoint, focused on, you know, making the map so they can sell ads upon it and for their mobile products. You know, what does this all mean for Android and moving down the road? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say, I think that does raise an interesting question, because one of the main revenue sources for Navtech and Teleatlas has been the sort of turn-by-turn navigation systems, you know, real-time navigation systems, and that their licensing to Google and others has always precluded the use of that, because they get a lot of revenue from that. And so the free maps, say on the iPhone, haven't been able to do real-time turn-by-turn directions. So that's a really interesting thing now that Google potentially has the ability to do that within the US. Will we see Google and the iPhone mapping system and Android and so on doing either free turn-by-turn maps or much cheaper turn-by-turn maps or turn-by-turn directions? Because right now, if you buy third-party applications using Navtech or TeleAtlas data, they're generally around $100 or so because the data's so expensive. So that could indirectly affect TeleAtlas and Navtech, even if Google didn't license the data, that's a big revenue stream for them that might really go away very quickly if Google provides free or very cheap services there.
And that's an interesting point, right? Because the pros and cons for both TeleAtlas and Navtech, there are many of them, but from a financial point of view, Google won't probably pay a huge amount of money for this data compared to the money TA get from all the other traditional sources of revenue. But the real flip to it is that the licensing benefits to Google owning its own data are immense, right? Instead of having all of these weird use cases that they couldn't do anything with just because of TeleAtlas's ancient ideas about what you can and can't do with map data. I mean, just one example, the Google Maps application on the iPhone, you know, there's lots you can't do with it because of the underlying data. Well, presumably a lot of those use cases and restrictions are going to go away now, from Google's point of view.
Right. I mean, another specific example of that was you can't download the Google Maps data, and that's one of the areas where, for example, an application called OffMaps, the one that I use, that uses OpenStreetMap data and can download you can download the data and use it locally.
And when you say data, you mean tiles?
Yeah, the map tile data. So that's fantastic if you're traveling abroad, because you can download the data ahead of time and use it without network charges. So that's a big advantage for OpenStreetMap right now versus Google. But like you say, perhaps those licensing terms may change now. So that's another potential significant change in the marketplace.
We haven't really mentioned Microsoft here. I mean, it's those guys, it's not like they're running out of money or they only have stupid people there. They're, quite the opposite. What do you think their response is going to be? I mean, because you'd be hard pressed to convince me, I think, that the response is going to be, let's keep paying for Navtech data, right?
Well, what's their choices? They don't have the same type. I mean, they have those really, what do they call them, the Vexel cameras that they get really, accurate aerial photography. And I know some of that they can derive, obviously the rooftop geocoding and some of the other stuff from that. But, they're not. The scope of that is clearly not as far as Google's been driving around their little cars. Maybe Microsoft's been driving cars around and we don't know about it.
It's not that hard, right?
Yeah, you don't have to slap a big Microsoft sign on the side and say, we're coming into your town. But at the same time, Microsoft has been having, problems with the market on the downturn and revenue. So, they don't seem to be able to spend the kind of money on these frivolous things that Google does. Whether or not the long-term result is beneficial to the company. So I agree that they probably can't keep up paying these companies the way they have, but I just don't see any way for them to match Google without rolling cars out.
Yeah, I think in a way, Microsoft seemed to me made a different bet in terms of where they invested in data capture. They've been doing a lot of pretty interesting stuff with their 3D modeling, which has involved a lot of investment in flying cities and automated processing using the technology that they bought from Vexel. And so I think they've invested a lot in that area. Then they also provide pictometry, oblique imagery. So those are a couple of angles that they provide that Google doesn't. But, they haven't been visibly investing in this sort of street level imagery, and I think what we've seen with Google is that a byproduct of driving the streets initially to get this street view imagery, and maybe this was always part of the grand plan, but is that a byproduct of that, they've captured enough data that they felt they could make the switch and maintain it themselves. But if you were starting from scratch, I assume that's still going to be a more expensive option than licensing Navtech or TeleAtlas data. So in other words, I'm not sure that Microsoft will switch, I guess, unless there's something we really don't know.
And it seems to be a pretty key provision of the license that Google have so far released MapMaker data under is, I think I could paraphrase it by saying you have to slap a big Google logo on it and you can't charge for it. Which kind of, you know, number one, Microsoft aren't going to slap a big Google logo on any of their products, I'm assuming. And it's those kinds of restrictions, I think, which sort of half make sense from Google's point of view, that, you know, they need to do this because they put a lot of time and effort into it and they don't necessarily want anyone else using the data, and attribution is a fair thing to ask for. But on the other hand, that drastically limits the number of people who are ever going to use it. I mean, not just Microsoft, but even, you know, people from emergency services to people in the third world seem to have stayed quite away from this data quite a bit.
When you say they've released some MapMaker data, what I'm not sure I was aware of them. I think I'd seen that they said they would make it available to non-profits, but are they doing something beyond that?
Yeah, I'm just going to have a look now, but I'm pretty sure that, and you know, I'm happy to be wrong. Yeah, here we go. I mean, as ever, Mikkel got there to the punch.
Because I asked Michael Jones about that at GeoWeb, and at that time, at least, he said no, they weren't going to release it except to non-profits.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
I think one of the big differences between Microsoft and Google is that Microsoft doesn't really have a mobile component the way Google does. You know, they have their platform, which is, I guess, an also-ran. But, you know, the Googles, the Apples, the Nokias, you know, they are obviously view mapping data such as this totally different than Microsoft does. You know, Microsoft probably views it from the sense that if you have SQL Server, you can geocode with it, versus, you know, actually having people build upon their product more than having where Eddie Bauer has their store locations, which seems to be the big thing they blog about these days on Microsoft's mapping sites.
So, Peter, you're right. It says you have to be an agency organization / non-profit.
And that to me raises another interesting question. This whole thing is that in general, you know, Google's openness or lack of it with regard to geospatial data, and we've had a few conversations on this, you know, originally in regard to MapMaker, but in other contexts too. And you know, while Google talks a lot about open data, and in particular, Michael Jones talks a lot about the Google Data Liberation Organization, which is an internal organization that supposedly exists to make sure that any data you put into Google, you can get out again. And yet that doesn't apply to MapMaker. You know, if you create the data, you can't get the raw data back again. And Ed Parsons argues that typical users don't really want that. They just want to see the map that's the end result of that. And that may be true for most users, but at the same time, there's still a smaller group of people who would really get a lot of value from that. And for a lot of people, that's important. You know, I would much rather contribute to OpenStreetMap, where I know that the data is going to be more widely available and could be used by lots of different people, than put effort into creating maps which are then going to be locked into Google and other people can't use the full detail of that data that I've spent time creating. And so, you know, one of the reasons that they've given at various points is for not being more open with the data is licensing constraints, although that doesn't really apply to MapMaker. So, you know, I think the question is, will they open up any more of the data that they're capturing in this new world? And, you know, that could apply not just to data that they're creating, but if they're doing work to aggregate data from these other government sources, which are largely public anyway, but they just go to the effort of pulling together, that would be something useful that they could make available. But will they or won't they do that? And I guess I'm not holding my breath. I don't know what you guys think.
No, I don't see it happening. And it's almost the... I mean, you guys have been in this industry a little bit longer than me, right? And but it feels to me that the understated nature with which this has all happened sort of masks the earthquake that's just happened, right? This is the first first company, as far as I know, to make a third data set of the United States. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a big change and almost an overnight thing. Obviously, Navtec and Teleatlas have been around, I think, since the mid-80s or so they started. And so while there have been odd rumors that Google was thinking of doing this, you know, it's still really a huge thing that suddenly overnight you have three competitors instead of the two that had been there for the last 20 years.
And what do you think those two guys are going to do? I mean, what can they do?
Well, they already did something, right? They sold.
They both got acquired last year, which was a good decision.
You know, and they both sold themselves to companies that are, you know, battling Google to some extent, TomTom and Nokia. So, you know, clearly the reasons why TomTom and Nokia bought Teleatlas and Navtec are the same reasons that Google felt they needed to create their own data set, is you have to control the data that goes into your product, or it's impossible to compete because you're giving away revenue to somebody else.
Do you think there's any way we could all just be friends and they could give away the data?
Well, I'm just wondering that, you know, in a sense, I think they were already feeling pretty threatened by the growth of crowdsourced initiatives and OpenStreetMap in particular, which, like I said, it isn't quite there to seriously compete with them for navigation applications, but I'm pretty sure that it will be there within, you know, maybe a 1 to 2 year time frame, and you know, perhaps is already there in certain localized areas already. That certainly is in terms of mapping quality. You know, for routing it, it's a little tougher to get the quality, but again, I think it's getting there. But maybe, you know, if they see the writing is on the wall, perhaps there is some way that they can change their business model and start collaborating more with something like an OpenStreetMap. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I guess AND gave data in Holland, right? Who
were
another commercial company.
To OpenStreetMap.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think, James, you were going to jump in.
Yeah, I was, and I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, what I was going to say is what's kept people from creating a third data set, I think, is just the perceived ginormous sunk cost, right? And Google likes to think about things a little bit differently. And, you know, they sidestepped a lot of that sunk cost by clearly, you know, grabbing a lot of public domain data that's out there, driving all the streets because they were going to do that anyway with a bunch of cameras. And you can do that fairly cheaply once you've worked a bunch of stuff out, doing a bunch of post-processing and relying a lot more on computers and automation than Teleatlas and perhaps Navtec also, you know, perhaps those guys were even capable of. But then once you've done that sunk cost, once you've driven the thousands of miles of roads, the cost to keep it updated for Teleatlas and Navtec in their model is a recurring sunk cost, right? You have to go out and drive all the roads continuously. But I'd be surprised if it was Google's plan to go and drive all the roads every year or even every 2 or 3 or 5 years. It's simply not necessary once you begin to trust your I hesitate to call them community, but set of customers who are willing to submit errors back to you. The update cost, you know, shrinks to something like zero compared to what the other guys are able to do.
Yeah, and I think one other way that they can get updates is that they've already started doing getting traffic information from Google Maps applications on mobile phones. It depends which platform you're on. They don't do it from the iPhone at the moment because it can't run in the background. But on other platforms, you can check a box to say, you know, send data to Google. And that's what they use to drive the sort of traffic flow information that you get on Google Maps now. And so that's another indication that they can get that something has changed in the road network. You know, if you suddenly start getting cars driving along somewhere that where it doesn't show a road in your network, then that's an indication you need to go out and check what's going on there. So I think between a combination of users submitting data and getting information back from the mobile apps, I agree with you, Steve, that they can really reduce the cost of maintaining the data.
What do you guys think that, you know, the GIS industry is going to think about all of this, or you know, does it just not matter? It's a it's just a data set that's going to be used off to the side, or, you know, is this just another fork of the paleo versus neo debate?
Well, you can't really use it unless it's a background to your mashup from a GIS standpoint. So I guess if you're running, you know, for example, the ESRI APIs and you're overlaying your data inside the Google Maps, I mean, maybe the parcels is pretty cool. Maybe not. I mean, I think most times I see GIS professionals use, you know, Google APIs. They use it for the aerials versus anything else. So, you know, I just, you know, maybe the parcels is interesting, but other than that, I'm not sure there's data you can get, you can't get elsewhere in an API. So, I don't know.
I guess I'm not sure it particularly changes things as far as GIS folks are concerned. You know, there's a certain set of more detailed GIS applications where Google really isn't appropriate if you're distributing higher level data, you know, showing the location of your schools or parks or something, then you could use Google Maps as a backdrop for that kind of stuff on a public facing website, say, and it really doesn't massively change what you can or can't do, I don't think.
Well, is it possible to view it as, let's think of it this way, right? You know, we're building a pile of sand here, right? And every individual grain might not look like it changes anything at all, really. But then suddenly, when everything fits into place, you're going to get an avalanche, right? And just to, you know, just let me put an idea. Let's say it's 2010. This thing's been going a while. The data's great. Suddenly, Google release a vector API. You can still only use the vector for your organization's purposes, or, you know, something which allows you to start playing around with vectors. You start to be able to download and use this stuff. And then you bolt onto that something like GeoCommons, you know, people starting to do GIS-like applications in the browser. And it's not, you know, as powerful as Esri, blah, 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 but you're suddenly in a position where, you know, there's a lot of that long tail of users who can go to Google and GeoCommons and start doing stuff for free. Maybe you can bolt on a few other things on the side, like, you know, some other data sets that people might have, things like, I don't know, Placial, things like that, right? And you put these things together and suddenly everything looks very different just a few months or years down the line.
But does this change that, though? Because you could do that before they did this.
The access to the data would be the key thing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they were to give us real access to the data, then yeah, maybe it does change things. But if it's still locked up behind their API, you know, there's really nothing that I could do before that I can't do now for free.
Yeah, I guess what I'm cautioning against is the idea that everything's fine, right? Because I'm just thinking, what would I do if I was in TA's point of view, like seat? What would I do if I was in Esri's seat? And it's like you know, it's death by a thousand cuts, because each of these individual things doesn't look very, very threatening. But suddenly, if you can put some of these things together with a few changes, it's a dangerous set of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't change, you know, things will change around you and you'll be screwed. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Paleo has done a pretty good job of adjusting itself. You know, I mean, ESRI is as strong as ever revenue-wise, and, you know, they're friends with everybody. So I don't see that changing. I think what changes is expectations of what you pay for data. And, you know, will Navtech be able to sell their data for thousands and thousands of dollars? Probably not. You know, given that, you know, and part of that's OpenStreetMap itself, but, you know, if Google isn't paying this kind of money, you know, who will? And if it's just Microsoft, well, you know, at that point, what, you know, that's such a niche market that I just think things are going to change. So, from that standpoint, yes. But I don't know necessarily the APIs, the way they are right now, have any effect on Paleo.
So I just I thought, you know, the obvious thing to check is have people started shorting TomTom stock, and the answer is quite the opposite. Since all of last week, it was bouncing around 11 a share, and it's now 11.50. It's a quite marked jump from last week. It's gone up 50 euros or cents or whatever it's denominated in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally think that the outlook for the Navtech and TeleAtlas pieces of, you know, TomTom and Nokia, respectively, is kind of tough. In terms of the broader impact on GIS, I think that still as it stands, something like OpenStreetMap, well, OpenStreetMap specifically, or stands to change things a lot more unless Google opens up and provides comparable capabilities. You know, I think there is very strong interest in OpenStreetMap, and I think in many ways a lot of the people who are motivated to participate in that may be more strongly motivated because of this, you know, concerns that Google is taking over more and more of the space here. And one of the comments on my blog following this was talking about, you know, whether this might encourage some other commercial companies to contribute more to OpenStreetMap. You know, you were asking how Microsoft would respond. Maybe there's a wild idea. You go and try and get Microsoft to contribute more to OpenStreetMap as their response. So you know, I think there's various interesting ways it could play out, and it's still quite early days to really figure out what the full impact is going to be.
That's a definite one.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing about this announcement is I guess, you know, if I'm selling something I'm putting my consultant hat back on. If I'm selling services to my clients and I'm going to build upon a platform, I really want to know what's in that platform as far as the quality of data. And, you know, right or wrong, before with Google, I could understand, you know, I could say, well, it's got Navtech in there, TeleAtlas in there. And for some people, that was enough. Cool, go ahead. And if Google fumbles this in the short term with quality of data, I could see a lot of people saying, well, you know, it isn't good enough. And maybe there's opportunities for OpenStreetMap to jump in there. You know, I don't know. I guess it's really interesting. It isn't so much as interesting as it is today, but it's interesting to see where we're going to be in 6 months with this.
Do you guys, I mean, you've mentioned it a couple of times, you see OpenStreetMap and Google as competitive? Because I can of course understand why you'd see tension between OpenStreetMap and TeleAtlas or OpenStreetMap and Navtech, but it's less clear why there should be any kind of tension between OpenStreetMap and Google, right? We're free for all to use, and that includes Google.
Well, I don't know if there's tension per se, but you know, when picking an API to build your platform on, at some point you have to evaluate what's out there, whether it's going to be Bing or Google or MapQuest or OpenStreetMap or anybody else. You know, you have to evaluate it. And for right or wrong, you know, Google is is what everybody evaluates on. You know, can I use OpenStreetMap? Well, let me Google the same location and see what Google says. And if it's accurate, well, cool, we'll go. If Google isn't as accurate as it used to be, you know, there's people complaining all the time now about the quality of the aerials, you know, especially in the United States, I guess, because the housing market has crashed. No one's buying aerials in the U.S. anymore. You know, how does that affect, you know, Google's place and everything? Well, you know, I don't think anybody expects Google to go away. They're obviously the standard of web APIs, but being the measure of everything else, I don't know. I guess that's my big question to see if their accuracy goes down over the course of the next 6 months versus Navtech on Google or Navtech on Bing. Maybe there is opportunity for TeleAtlas and Navtech to build their market, or for OpenStreetMaps as well. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll have to see.
I mean, I guess I see a couple of areas where there's competition between OpenStreetMap and Google. You know, what one is, as James said, you have a choice of what platform you develop applications on. Right now, Google isn't using OpenStreetMap and data, and the reason they cite for that is to do with licensing. And I think OpenStreetMap has made good progress on resolving the licensing issues, but Google's gone somewhat down on a parallel path now, where they've, you know, released their MapMaker software in certain parts of the world and are capturing their own data. And so the fact that in some parts of the world, at least, that they do have something similar to OpenStreetMap sort of forces some competition, if you like, in the resources of people who are interested in map making, which overall is kind of a not a good thing, I think. And one of the main points I was going to make that I hadn't made yet was, if you look at Wikipedia, which has obvious analogies with OpenStreetMap and these kind of open or crowdsource mapping initiatives, there really is just one Wikipedia. I mean, Google tried to launch their own alternative and it really didn't take off. And maybe there's a few other specialized ones, but by and large, Wikipedia has the critical mass and that's where all the focus goes. And I don't know if you have thoughts on this, Steve or James, but I think the challenge for us in really realizing the potential of OpenStreetMap is how do we try and retain one primary crowdsourced system. You know, I don't know how important you guys think that is, but it seems to me that if you start fragmenting that, where there's lots of different systems and you have to decide, do I contribute my labor to this one or that one, then obviously you really divide the labor pool and make it less effective.
Well, the labor pool, it must be said though, is huge.
Well, it is potentially, but still, I don't know if it's so huge that you don't see it as a concern. You know, it seems to me that the more you can kind of consolidate and focus on one initiative, the faster you're going to get there and the better quality you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. So you see it as a
sort of... Or do you not think it's a...
Well, I was going to say...
Not necessarily.
I think, I think, you know, Peter, to jump on what you said, there already is that problem, right, with multiple data sets, because if you geocode on data set that has NavTech data and your background data is on Tel Atlas, you know, it's like, why do these things not line up? And we deal with that all the time. So people say, well, I'm using Google, therefore I use Tel Atlas as my geocoder, you know, on my desktop, blah, 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 blah. You know, if Google's forking this all once again, you know, then if you want to put points on Google and you want to do it on your desktop, well, then you have to use Google's APIs to do it. You can no longer use a third-party, you know, tool, you know, such as the NavTech one that the guys at GeoCommons did, you know, open-source geocoder, you know, that you can use NavTech with that, but it won't line up with anything that Google has exactly. So, you know, it's just, again, one more data set that we all have to worry about and how to get, you know, it to line up with everything else we have.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm sort of highlighting that concern that the fewer, in a sense, the fewer options we have, especially in terms of a crowdsourcing thing, the better in many ways. I mean, you can argue, I suppose you can do a contrary argument that if you have competition, you can choose the best one, but there's a I think there's a danger in having too much fragmentation there. And right now, it seems like Google is on a pretty separate path from OpenStreetMap. It's kind of hard to see them getting more engaged with that. But, you know, I don't know if this new direction will change anything there or not, whether they might start contributing more to OpenStreetMap, i.e. something.
Let's hope so. So we've been going about 50 minutes or so, guys. I think we're about ready to wrap up, unless you guys have any other points you want to make.
I don't think so specifically. I mean, I think it's been an interesting chat, and I definitely think it's a huge change on the data side of the industry, and I think we won't know the full implications until we really see what Google does in terms of some of these things, like we talked about, maybe having less restrictive licensing, and will they license this data in some way or make it available to people who can use it and so on. But, you know, whether or not they do that has quite a big impact on what the impact is on NavTech and TeleAtlas, I guess. So definitely an interesting thing to watch, I think.
Yeah, and on top of it all, I mean, who knows what Apple's going to do? You know, if they're going to create their own map on their own, and they're not going to let Google play, you know, then there's an additional data source we have to worry about down the future. So, you know, for whatever, you know, Google's doing to TeleAtlas, Apple could do to Google. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it comes back down to a lot of the stuff is all driven by mobile platforms. And, you know, companies like Microsoft without a good mobile platform, you know, they're obviously not really playing in this game right now.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thanks so much, guys. Thank you, Peter Batty. Who can be found at geothought.blogspot.com. Is that right?
That's right.
And thank you, James. at spatiallyadjusted.com.
.com.net or .org. I think .us even.
Brilliant.
If I'm paying my bill on that.
Well, thanks again, guys. Cheers.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.